Amen. What a blessing it has been just being here this morning. I trust that if you have served in the military, that you have already felt honored and that you're glad that you came this morning. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I would ask you to turn with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Memorial Day is a day that as a nation we have set aside to honor all those who have served in our military. And we have other days. We have Memorial Day to honor those who have fallen and all the different times. It's just something that as a United States of America, we want to show our appreciation for all of those. And we don't want to forget those that have died to bring to us the freedoms that we have. But Veterans Day especially is just a day to set aside to honor those that have and are serving in the military and to acknowledge our debt and our appreciation for your service. No doubt there have been many men and women who have made the ultimate sacrifice for this great nation, of which, again, we are in debt. But as we look to the Bible is God's love letter to mankind. It helps us to know the very mind of an almighty Creator God. It's what Jesus said, that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. He's promised to preserve it for us. He's told us, he said, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If we are to live by every word, then God would have had to have preserved it for us. And I believe he has preserved it for us today. And so we have every word that God has for us in the English language right before us here in this Bible. In this parable we're going to read this morning, it's a parable of the householder. It's going to answer two questions concerning America. Why is there a USA? Why is there a United States of America that we live in, that we love? And how do we keep her strong? I believe that you'll find those two answers, the answers to those two questions in this parable. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the parable together. Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 33. The Bible says, "Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. When the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. They called him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. And the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh. What will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard his parables, They perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this morning, we do thank you, Father, for the many, many blessings that you have bestowed upon us as a country and as a people. And Father, as we have assembled here today, we've assembled in your name. And because of that, we know that we have your promise that you will be here in the midst with us. And I pray, Father, for all that are here, that they would sense your presence. And I pray that they would have an ear to hear what you have for them. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Wow, what a parable. First of all, the purpose of this parable was to reveal to the Jews that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus presenting this parable to the priests and the Pharisees, the religious rulers of the day. And he says to them, verse 37, but last of all, he sent unto them his Son, representing the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, they will reverence my Son. But when the husbandmen saw the Son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. They didn't want to give up their positions. They wanted to do away with Jesus Christ. And they called him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. Now, in verse 45, the Bible says, and when the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard this parable, they perceived that he spake of them, and their perception was right, for he was revealing to them what was taking place, prophesying unto them what they would do, and that he would be nailed to the cross of Calvary and be that sacrificial lamb. But then he would resurrect on the third day to prove that he was the only begotten Son of God. So in this parable that he gave to them, understanding what he was trying to reveal to them and what was taking place, there was first of all the certain householder. Verse 33, the Bible says, here another parable, there was a certain householder. The certain householder would represent the Creator God. Represent that he had designed the world as he has said that he had. If we look back into the book of Genesis, the book of the beginnings, it reveals to us that God created all things. He created all things for humanity. Then he created humanity after his own image and his likeness. He created man. And as he created man, he planted him on earth. After he had already created the heavens and the earth, he designed a 24-hour day. He designed a 7-day week. He designed a place for man. He planted man on the earth, and in Genesis in chapter 1 and verse 28, his command to mankind was, be fruitful. That means he was to produce the fruit that God had planted him on the earth to produce. We know that man was the crown of creation. He's the only thing that God created with an eternal soul. And God created him in his likeness and his image. And the Bible says that they were created for his pleasure. God wanted to fellowship with humanity. God designed a man, God designed a woman. He designed a way that they would be able to reproduce. And God would be there to fellowship with his creation. And they were to bring pleasure to him. And all that he prepared for them on this earth and everything that they were to do, it was to produce the fruit that God was looking for, and that is to please him. To do what he commanded them to do, that they might bring that pleasure into his existence. We find that's what the Bible says about the creation. That's what God did. And Jesus is presenting to us that he was this certain householder. a certain householder, meaning that he had a specific person in mind, and that was God. God who had an intelligent design. A God of all creation. And the Bible says that he lent it out to householders. Husbandmen. He says here another parable, there was a certain householder, and then he lent it out to husbandmen in verse 33. The husbandmen of the Old Testament would be like stewards, if you will, in the New Testament. They were to take that which God had given to them and to do with it what God wanted them to do with it. As stewards of God's, the husbandman would have been the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. In Genesis in chapter 12 and verses 1 through 3, the Bible reveals to us that God made this covenant with Israel. God chose the nation of Israel. He chose Abraham to be the father of this new nation. The Bible says in Genesis in chapter 12 and verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth of every dispensation be blessed." And so we find that Jesus was referring to Israel as the husbandmen that he lent it out to. And they were to represent God to the world. They were to represent to all humanity God's plan and design for worship, God's plan and design for service. Israel was God's chosen people to represent him to the rest of humanity, to prepare for the fruit that God was waiting for, the fruit of people acknowledging him and desiring to have fellowship with him. Israel was that representation. If you go back into our text in Matthew chapter 21, that's what he says in verse 34. "And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it." From the Old Testament to the coming of Christ, Israel was that husbandman. The coming of Christ is something that God had designed from the foundation of the world. Salvation for all humanity. A church that Jesus Christ would establish. A new way of having a walk with God. A new way of having fellowship. A mystery in the Old Testament, but a reality in the New Testament was the New Testament church. That which you're sitting in this morning. A church that has the doctrines of Christ. A church that has the desire to represent the Lord Jesus Christ as being the head of the body. Jesus is the head and we are the body. And the body listens to the head and takes instructions from the head as far as how we are to live and how we are to produce fruit for him, to do what the head tells us to do. That's the church, Jesus being the head of the body. And so God was designed at this particular time, some 2,000 years ago, that humanity would receive Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Jews, that was the husbandman of the Old Testament, would receive the Messiah that was prophesied that would come one day. But as he sent the prophets ahead of time to reveal to the Jews that the Messiah was coming and that the Messiah was here. The greatest of the prophets that we look at in the New Testament was the beginning, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ was John the Baptist. And he came preaching, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and look to him, for this is what God was looking for." But as he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits thereof, and the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. At this particular time, they had already settled into their religious ways. They had interpreted the law as they wanted to interpret it, and they wanted to live as they wanted to live, with their priests and their ways. But God sent his son. Ultimately, he said that I will send my son, and surely they will reverence him to realize who the God is, who the householder is, who owns it all. Verse 37, but when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him. Wow. The fruit of the kingdom of God was taken from Israel. Verse 43, the Bible says, Jesus said to them, did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same, is become the head of the corner. Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, is the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in his sight. Therefore, I say unto you that the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. The kingdom of God, the plan that God had, would be taken from the Jews because of their unbelief. And the Bible says, and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. The fruit of the kingdom of God taken from Israel and given to a nation that would bring forth this fruit. This nation would be the Gentile nation, be taken from the Jews and be given to the Gentile nation. Acts in chapter 18. Follow with me. This is history. It brings us to why there is a United States of America today. It's what the Bible teaches us concerning why we exist today. In Acts in chapter 18, in verse 4, the book of Acts is a transitional period of time. It was a transitional time from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It was a transitional time now focused on the words of Jesus Christ that he brought and the preaching of the cross of Christ until the scriptures would be completed. The scriptures would not be completed to the end of the apostolic age. Once the scriptures were completed, then we had the full revelation of God. No need for a lot of the signs and wonders that were taking place during the apostolic age. When that which is perfect is come, that which was in part shall be done away with. There's nothing any more perfect than the written down words of God. We don't have to rely on anybody else to tell us what God says when we have what God says written down for us, and there's no new revelation. The revelation that God had for humanity was complete in the scriptures. We're not to add to or take away from the Bible. And so we find here that as we're doing in this book of Acts, the apostolic age, the Bible says, and Paul writes here, he says, for he reasoned in the synagogue, saying, or every Sabbath, or actually Luke wrote concerning Paul, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Paul was here as a prophet, as an apostle representing the words of Jesus Christ, trying to help the Jews to realize the Son of God, the Messiah, is here. He's come. He's done what he said he would do. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he, Paul, shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your heads. I am clean from henceforth. I will go into the Gentiles. I will go into the Gentiles, knowing that the Gentile nation would be the nation that God, the householder, would then turn over the kingdom of God to continue the ways of God, continue the message of God to the world. So Paul turned to the Gentiles to produce the fruit that God was looking for. Romans in chapter 9. This was some 2,000 years ago. We're coming to the end of the apostolic age. And Paul is presenting the truths. And Romans chapter 9 and verse 30, the Bible says, what shall we say then, that the Gentiles, which follow not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness? Gentiles, they weren't under the law. They didn't follow the ways of the law. But now they have attained unto righteousness. But even the righteousness which is of faith. Faith in believing that Jesus was the Messiah. Faith in believing that the Word of God, the New Testament Scriptures, the teachings of Christ come from God Almighty. Faith to believe the Bible to be true. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, because the law is what determined righteousness in the Old Testament. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith. They didn't believe by faith in Jesus Christ being the only begotten Son of God. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. What we just read about in the parable, what Jesus just revealed. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling block and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Wow. So we find here that some 2,000 years ago, God took the kingdom of God, producing fruit for God, from Israel, and he gave it to the Gentiles. A nation that would continue in representing the fruit that God wanted represented. And now, New Testament, after the coming of Christ, it was the preaching and the teachings of Christ. It was understanding by faith that there was only one blood sacrifice. And Jesus Christ died one time, shed his blood for all humanity. One sacrifice, one time. So that whosoever should just believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so Christianity was established. The local New Testament church was established. After the apostolic age and they were under great persecution, the believers were scattered abroad and they went everywhere establishing local New Testament churches. And God had his hand upon that movement because that was God's movement. And that was the movement that was going to present Christianity to the rest of the world. Now we look back, and that was 2,000 years ago, and there was many a nation that had taken on the spread of the gospel, the ministry that God had given to the Gentiles, and it had been passed around and from different nations. But in 1776, God birthed America. God birthed America to be that nation. For the last 240 years, history itself reveals that the United States of America has been the nation that God has used to take the gospel into all the world. Wow. Because we was established on freedom. We was established as a nation under God. We pledge our allegiance to the United States of America, a nation under God. Right. We put in our currency, on our currency, in God we trust. We established our laws based upon the Ten Commandments of this Bible. We established the way that we would live. Morality was based upon what the Bible says. All you have to do is look back in history and truly look at history of the United States of America. This was a people who believed in Jesus Christ as the single salvation, the single one who died for our sins to bring to us everlasting life. A Christian nation who adopted the Christian calendar, who has its dates on our calendar to acknowledge the birth of Jesus Christ, to acknowledge the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Days that we have set aside for this acknowledgement of being a Christian nation. The hand of God has been upon this nation and allowed us to win wars that we had no business winning. And the only explanation is the hand of God upon this great nation. Yeah. For 240 years, America has been the nation that has not been ashamed of Christ. He said that nation wouldn't be ashamed. Wow. We've identified ourselves with Jesus Christ in all these different ways. We've allowed the rest of the world to come to America to have religious rites, to worship as they choose to worship. It's Christianity that allows that in America. Freedom. Our God-given freedom. God raised up America to make sure that we would have the freedom and for the church to remain strong and the church would be able to grow and to be able to reach into all the world as we have been given the commission of God. The great commission given to the church is to go into all the world. Teach them the plan of salvation. To baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. And then to teach them all the things that Jesus Christ himself had taught his disciples. It's Christianity, the work of the church. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. The second question, how do we keep her strong? Because we need this today. Because we are losing what made America strong. That's the protective hand of God upon it. Go back to our parable. We're just about done here. Chapter 21. We must continue to acknowledge God and His Son. We must not do what the husbandman did to get the householder to take it away from him and give it to another. 35. And the husbandman took the servants, beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Why? Because he came in the name of the Lord and said, this is what God says. This is what the householder says. He wants the fruit. It's his land. It's his. We owe him his fruit. Again, he sent in other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, they sent unto him his son, saying, they will reverence my son. They didn't reverence the Lord Jesus Christ that crucified him. Listen to me. If we're going to remain strong, we must continue to acknowledge God and his son. To continue to follow his instructions and to produce the fruit that God wants his people to produce. Jesus established his church by which all who call upon him might be part of it. And through his church, do the work that God has commissioned us to do. Ephesians in chapter 2, and we're going to close. If we're going to keep America strong, then the church has to continue to do what God has established the church to do. Ephesians in chapter 2, and verse 7, it says this, that in the ages to come, Paul, this was written some 2,000 years ago, that in the ages to come, in every generation, every dispensation of time, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. Not any religion, but through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The message that God wants to have presented to the world, Jesus Christ, the only plan of salvation, And it's not by works that you receive him. You receive him by a gift, believing who he is, believing that he loved you enough to die for your sins and offer to you a gift of everlasting life. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Look in verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. If we want to keep America strong, Christians, those that believe in Jesus Christ, must continue to produce the fruit that God is looking for. Amen. What a parable. It's been recorded for us for some 2,000 years. It's what God wants us to realize concerning why we have an America and what we must do to keep her strong. I trust that all of us will be willing to do just that. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. The first thing that we must do is every individual must make a decision on what you will do with Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, your eternity is going to be determined by what you do with Jesus Christ. If you reject him as being your Lord and Savior, then you will spend eternity in a place of damnation, a place the Bible calls hell. But if you would just acknowledge him and receive him as your personal Lord and Savior, then you can have a home in heaven. The Bible says to be absent from the body for the believer is to be present with the Lord. That's a peace that passeth all understanding. No matter what you face in this life, if you know that heaven is part of your future, what a joy. What a peace. You can have that understanding. You can have that by faith. Just believe and trust and receive Jesus Christ today. Father, we bow before you now. We love you and we thank you for this day. And God, for how you worked in each one of our hearts to bring us to this place. And God, for what we've already heard and the music and the tribute to our veterans. And we thank you for that. Lord, help us to pay attention to this parable. Help us to learn what you have it here for us to learn. If there's anyone here that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that today that they would make that decision. They would come and let somebody show them through the Bible and what you say a person must do to be saved. For all those who have received Jesus Christ, I pray, God, that we would maybe renew our commitment to representing you and to be all that we can be, and that we would work through your church that you've established. God, would you just speak to us as we have need to be spoken to. Help each one to make whatever decision needs to be made. In Jesus' name we pray.